This is called the third rail in politics, taxing residents, your primary residents. Taxing your primary residents. Now, you get a, for most people, this is their retirement. That's why no one talks about this. In fact, you will all remember that we had the former CEO of the CMHC, Canadian Housing and Mortgage Corporation, Evan Sedell, on this program. And he said, look, we have such a massive disparity. You know what the answer to bringing down house prices and getting more people? It's not just supply. You should tax, capital gains tax on primary residence. And he said, no one will do it. No government will do it. Now, I'm a homeowner. And for me, this is my retirement. For everybody, their home, if it's gone up in price, could be their retirement. But for my kids, they're like, oh, good for you, Dad. One day we're going to want to buy a home, and we can't. There's lots of people. Samantha, who works with me. God, I'm sorry, Sam. Works with me. That was outrageous. Sam's like, she's in her 20s. How is she going to buy a home? Well, I'll tell you what. There's a real debate happening, and I'm going to bring in Dr. Paul Kershaw, a Generation Squeeze founder and a UBC professor, who's just released a new report saying that there should be a surtax on homes valued above $1 million, and that would fund affordable housing. And of course, so we know the Vancouver-based nonprofit Generation Squeeze. Welcome, Dr. Kershaw. Great to have you here. First of all, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, and I'm happy to join the show to be a bit of a punching bag for some people and maybe someone that Sam and her colleagues cheer on.
Yeah, and I can't even believe I just said that because Sam does not work for me. I think I work for Sam. can you? What is this $1 million? I do, by the way. What is this $1 million surtax on homes?
Yeah.
This surtax on $1 million homes, rather.
So first off, it's not a capital gains tax where we know the government has said they're not willing to talk about that. So we're trying to propose a different alternative to address moderately some of the same issues. And just like governments have introduced a price on pollution to lower our emissions and tackle climate change, we're saying via this report that it's time to put a modest price on housing inequity to apply a downward pressure on the skyrocketing housing prices we all know are landing Canada in this unaffordability crisis. And we think that the place to start is putting a small surtax, less than 1%, on the value of homes over $1 million. And so, for instance, if you're in a $1.2 million home, the surtax would be really modest at that level, about $400 a year, and you wouldn't even need to pay it until the home is sold.
But do you pay it on every year you've owned the home? So if I own my home for 25 years, it's and at what level do I pay it? Yeah, like I bought the home for $300,000. Now it's worth 1.25 years ago, and now it's worth $1.2 million. What's the surtax on that?
Yeah, so this is not a capital gains tax. It would not ever be looking at what did you buy your home for and what would you sell your home for. Rather, it's saying, are you among the 10% of Canadians living in the most affluent households in the country? And you are if you're living in a home over $1 million. I know people in like the greater Toronto area, Metro Vancouver, where I live, don't think of ourselves as super rich if we're in a $1 million home because they are more common. We're not Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk. But the reality is that, like in my case, BC Assessment told me my home went up over $500,000 in the last year while I slept. It's now pushed me over $2 million, which puts me in the top 2% of households.
Wait, your house went up $500,000 this year?
$500,000 this last year. And none of that is ever going to be subject to taxation.
So how much would you pay in this surtax?
On this surtax, so for a $2 million home, you're talking at a little over $2,000 a year.
$2,000 a year for how many years? Like every year you'd pay that. That's like on top of your property tax.
Exactly. So I plan to live here easily another, 10, 20 years. So that so 2,000 times 10 would be $20,000. Add another $20,000 for 20 years. So that's $40,000. But I just told you I made $500,000 while sleeping this past year. The $40,000 is like nothing compared to the wealth that I'm increasing. And I guess we're saying it's time to ask the 10% owning Canada's highest value real estate to tolerate a small price on housing inequity in order to demonstrate allegiance to the Canadian dream that a good home should be in reach for what hard work.
But how do you know? How do you know that's going to drive down the price of homes because you're paying another $2,000 tax? Does that really suppress home prices, or does it? Is it simply supply? It's just like there's. Look, I'll tell you what. Property tax rates have gone up in the last decade, but housing price, it hasn't done a damn thing to housing prices. So how do we know that you're not just going to tap people in? It's another surtax, more money, and yet the bottom line is the housing prices just still go up. Why? Because it's a supply problem.
So it's a supply and a tax and a lending monetary problem and a range of other issues. It is not one silver bullet, and I'm not saying this will solve all the problems. What I am saying is the following. Just like offshore tax shelters motivate people to move money out of Canada to preserve assets, we often think that's a problem. The home ownership tax shelter motivates us to bank on rising home prices to gain wealth. And people might say, what's that home ownership tax shelter? What do you mean? Well, when people are going to work today, 100% of their earnings will be taxed. If they take some of those earnings and invest them in the stock market, 50% of any return on investment would be taxed. But in our principal residences, the wealth windfalls that people grow will generally be barely taxed at all. And the moment we shelter something from taxation, we incentivize not just a foreign buyer or a speculator or some mean-spirited money launderer or whatnot, but regular Canadians to, as you said, count on high and rising home prices for their wealth accumulation and their saving strategies in retirement.
Oh, okay, so let's say you did this. How many homes would this – how many homes – and what percentage of homes in Canada are over $1 million?
Less than 10% of homes in Canada are over $1 million. So 90% of Canadians wouldn't pay a penny more. About 13% of the homes would be in Ontario. It is the case that 21% of homes in BC are over $1 million. So we'd be sending the bigger signals in the very provinces where the home prices had most gone out of control.
And how much money would it raise?
About $5 billion a year to invest in deeply affordable, energy-efficient, purpose-built rental and co-op homes, which are more often be the kind of homes that are in reach for the SAMs of the world. And the SAMs could count on those kinds of homes to at least provide a kind of security of tenure that somewhat approximates what homeownership offers many people, but which is so more often a challenge for people to find when they're just renting some other investors, you know, second or third or fourth.
Okay, so you're saying raise $5 billion a year, and you're saying the federal government would pour this into affordable housing?
It could be done at the federal level. That would be the most sensible thing. Or it could be done at a provincial level. It doesn't make sense to do this municipally. And so you could have Ontario go it alone. You could have BC go it alone. But it would make the most sense to do it from coast to coast to coast.
Right. And then the next government, you know what's going to happen. It's like, oh, thanks, Doc Kershaw. That's great. Now we're going to need a little more money. So we're going to add the surtax to homes over 800,000 and then 500,000. And guess what? Once you slap a surtax on homes, it's just a way around the capital gains tax, and then where you get your property tax and your surtax, and basically at one point the home becomes so unaffordable. There's still a supply issue, and then only the really super rich can afford it because they can afford to pay all these taxes. What do you say to that criticism?
Well, first off, I'm talking about raising dollars to put into creating more supply specifically. I definitely think we need to do a range of other things to resist NIMBYism and improve zoning to increase supply. Again, it's not either or, it has to be both and. On this issue, you started by saying it's a third rail. Jen Squeeze is in the business of trying to make possible what seems politically impossible. And we need to tackle this part if we're serious about restoring affordability. Because at stake is the saying, a person's home is her castle. It's a sacred place, a place of refuge and security. We build our families, raise our kids, but we cheapen what's sacred about homes when we make it harder for everyone to access them by protecting tax shelters at the expense of real.
Okay, so my text board at 71010 is blowing up, as you can imagine. Here you go. You want to tax people's homes, another tax on homes? You get ready for it, Doc. You want it? You got it. The lines are open, folks. Doc, you ready? You ready for this?
I am, and I will note that Pierre Poilievre, so the finance critic for the opposition party federally, yesterday said that housing inflation is turning homeowners into their aristocracy.
Okay, that's the first time I've seen you and Pierre Poilievre on the same page, but we'll find out. 1-855-633-1010, 1-855-633-1010 or 71010. What do you think of this good idea? You're next. Well, if you want to blow up the phone lines at 1-855-633-1010 or text me at 71010, as many, many people are doing right now, all you have to do is talk about putting some kind of tax on your primary residence. And that is the proposal from Generation Squeeze founder and UBC professor Dr. Paul Kershaw, who's just working alongside, I should say, Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation, the CMHC, to say, look, one way to solve the housing crisis, the affordability crisis, people can't enter the market, the skyrocketing inflated price, is to say, let's slap a surtax on homes worth more than $1 million. About 10% of all Canadian homes, more in places like Vancouver and Toronto, obviously, about a 0.2% surtax on it. It would raise, they say, more than $5 billion a year, and would be plowed into affordable housing. So Dr. Kershaw's been on the line. He knows that people, when you say surtax on your primary residence, that's like saying, I see you've peed on my birthday cake. I don't want it. I understand that. 1-855-633-1010 or 71010. But maybe you're peeing on your birthday cake because you've got diabetes and you shouldn't be eating it. I don't know. And I think I'm trapped in a bad metaphor. Dr. Kershaw's on the line. You can talk to him. You can react to this. And he knows what's coming. So don't hold back. Go for it. And the lines are blowing up. Dean, go for it.
How you doing, Evan?
I'm awesome. You're on the line with the doc.
Hey, listen, this is my worrisome, okay? So we have a gas tax that's supposed to help the roads. That doesn't work. They use it, throw it all in a slush fund and use it everywhere. So what's to say the government's not going to do the same with this money? Take all my money that I worked hard to get, that no government helped me to buy, and I'm sure nobody helped the doc buy his house. Why should I help? Like, listen, my house is worth $500,000 to MPAC, but if I sell it tomorrow, it's worth 1.5. Which part do you tax? MPAC's evaluation on my house or what people think my house is worth? Yeah. And I think this is a stupid tax because I'm afraid the government's going to take that money and frivolously throw it away like they did with, like, Wynn apologized about a gas plant that she's making us pay for now. So is this going to be another thing that we're going to all have to pay for because the government doesn't know how to work with the money?
Dean, it's a great question. And by the way, sometimes when governments tax, the money goes to general revenue. Sometimes, I'll give you an example, like the carbon tax, it's not allowed to. It's got to be rebated by law. So I think I'll let Dr. Kershaw answer that, but go ahead. Dean's genuine fear is it's another tax and it goes into government bureaucracies and they blow it.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of cynicism about government, and I hear Dean saying that, and sometimes it's well-deserved. What we're proposing here is, first, it would be the impact assessment, Dean, and so sounds like you wouldn't be facing the tax. Second of all, we would be wanting that tax to go into building affordable housing. That's its primary purpose. It also, though, at moments could go into, you know, the child care, the elder care, the medical care that many people are wanting to draw on in the pandemic.
Oh, boy. Are you serious? Boy, don't give governments options because they'll spend it.
Well,
okay.
Okay,
hold on. You and I can keep going, and I got to throw this open.
On the next caller.
Yeah, Paul, go for it.
Good afternoon, Canada. Well, here's my take on it. There was a conversation back in October of 2019 where Justin Trudeau was caught saying that a pandemic would be the perfect time for the Great Reset. Well, after listening to what this guy says, this would be the Great Reset in Canada because you'd be stealing money away from hardworking middle-class Canadians and putting us all down at the bottom of the tree again. Because in Ontario, I can tell you that I'll bet you 10 out of the 10 million people that live here, everybody's home is worth around $1 million+ now in a starter home.
So let's let him answer just a few things. I've heard the Great Reset and all that. I'm not going to get into theories of the Great Reset, but there's an interesting point, which is in Ontario would get systemically dinged much harder on this because the houses are worth a lot. And look, he's saying, like, why another tax on me? That sucks.
Yeah. So, but there's a myth that to some degree we've created that everyone's living in a $1 million home. Like, we kind of normalize that that's the case, but it's not. Only 13% of people in Ontario live in homes valued over $1 million. 20% in BC, not even 10% in Canada. So for those who are in the $1 million+ homes, myself included, I'm asking us to recognize we are not Elon Musk, we are not Jeff Bezos, but we are at a level of relative affluence in our home that is not the norm for most people. And so we have to compete to redefine who is affluent. And the home ownership issue is really driving a divide. It's not just our incomes any longer. You can have many talented, hardworking young people, well-educated with decent jobs who are renters.
Right.
And that is a fundamentally different
Now, Paul, a lot of people are saying, and I got so, this is blowing up. I could do the whole show on this. Hey, guys, many homes are valued because of the upgrades were done inside. Who's coming inside my home to inspect my work and value my home even when I'm not planning on selling? Or I've lived in my home for 23 years. I put in thousands of dollars of repairs. I live in Montreal. It's probably a million-dollar home if I were to sell it. So what do you say to those folks?
So I say, one, this isn't a capital gains tax, so we're not asking what did you buy and what did you sell at. We're asking what is it valued now? I'm talking about, you know, we do so much effort on taxing people's income. This is a proposal to start taxing wealth more. Wealth is what's driving inequality. That person just described me. Mm. I bought my home for $540. I've dumped in easily $500,000. So I've got more than $1 million worth of my own cash into it. It's now worth $2 million.
Yeah, so, but good for you, bully for you, because you're in. You can probably afford the 0.2% because you. But not everyone's in that crazy market. But Dave's in another market called New Market. He's not Dr. Kershaw. Look, I know you're willing to do all this, and folks, I know this is controversial, and Dr. Kershaw knows it, and he loves taking these calls. So what? You know, let's not get personal here. Dave, go for it.
So, you know, I don't know if you've looked at a real estate listing in Southern Ontario in the last, year and a half, 2 years. Everything's $1 million. I was fortunate enough to buy a house, 9 years ago now. I started working very young, and I saved my money. I'm not a high-income earner. My wife is not a high-income earner. We have two kids, just got out of daycare. We're stretched completely thin right now. And now I got to pay more? For what?
So you live in a house worth more than $1 million?
Yeah, I do, yeah. Fortunately, it wasn't $1 million when I bought it, obviously.
I would say to Dave, I hear you. I know you're not Jeff. I know you're stretched. If only we could have slowed things down more back in the day. By the way, you have two kids. We've worked really hard to make $10 a day childcare come about so that childcare is not another rent or mortgage-sized payment. But coming back to housing, I'm saying, Dave, think about the person starting now, not 9 years ago. You're in a fundamentally different place. And if you could have just any empathy for that person starting out now who's going to work just as hard as you and be just as smart as you but not have the same options. We're trying to, slow down the problem of reducing the options for people following our footsteps.
All right.
I have empathy. I have absolute empathy for young Canadians now trying to get into the housing market, especially in Vancouver and Southern Ontario. But taxing middle-class families is not going to help people. It's going to hurt more people than it helps.
Dave, thank you for the call, by the way.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, Dave's everybody. We're all living in the homes. We're all trying to pay a mortgage. We're all trying to figure out how to put groceries. We're all raising a bunch of kids. I hear you. But this is weird because we've got generational inequity because housing prices have gone bonkers. By the same token, you know, Doc, I tell you, my text board's blowing up and people are saying, do not touch my home with this tax. There's got to be another way.
Yeah, so first off, one thing about Dave, though, is he's not everybody. He's part of the top 10% in terms of the value of the home in which he lives. That, I know he still has many ways of middle-class experience, but I am wanting to compete for our hearts and minds to start to rethink, what does affluence look like? And I don't want us to only think the affluent are the Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk of the world. Dave's working his butt off, but in the way our country has been evolving, to some degree, he has more affluence than some others. Mm. Not tons, and that's why, his home's just barely over $1 million. We're not talking about a major
right.
extra ask. It's a little demonstration of a kind of allegiance to that Canadian dream that a good home should be in reach for what hard work can earn, and let's try and slow down home prices and ask those who are doing better than most to contribute slightly more.
All right, Dr. Kershaw, we'll have you back, Generation Squeeze, because I can tell you, I rarely do a topic that lights it up like this. Thank you, by the way.